Welcome to Penance and Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Leslie.
This is a podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not.
Hell it has been.
Yes, it has.
Abigail and I were both sick. Abigail significantly more than I was.
Yeah, I think I got the flu. It wasn't COVID. I tested negative for COVID like 500 times.
I either got food poisoning or the flu. I think it was food poisoning. Abigail thinks it was the flu.
I think it was the flu. Yeah, both me and my partner got the flu. And so we were both out for several days from work, which, if you know me in my real life, you'll know that it takes a lot to get me to stay home from work.
Yes. I regularly have to tell her that she needs to practice self-care and take time off of work.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that.
This is currently the end of January. And she said, she told me that the last time she took time off was September.
Yes.
You should at least take like a couple days off not being sick in that time.
I'll think about it. Maybe I'll take a vacation next September.
I got 5 days off for Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, I got like holidays off.
Well, like individual holidays don't count, but like if you get like just the holiday off, I don't think that counts.
Oh.
I literally didn't have to work from Wednesday to Monday.
Yeah, like I haven't put in for time off since September.
Maybe you should.
You and my therapist both.
Sorry we didn't upload last week.
Yeah, I was not in a good state. I was losing my voice. She was throwing up. And I didn't want to just upload sounds of me throwing up and barely being able to talk.
Yeah.
I figured that would be something that would not be fun to listen to unless you're... Alright, announcements. I was sick. Sorry we didn't upload. We're gonna try and stay up on track, but at the end of the day, there's gonna be certain situations which we just can't help, so... If you want to stay up to date on those situations, follow us on our social media accounts.
At Pen and Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Where we will hopefully remember to keep you updated.
I post on there like once every other week.
Yeah, I'm not good at the social media thing. Like even my own personal stuff, I don't do anything with it.
Oh, I never post anything on my social media accounts.
We're both kind of losers.
We're not losers. I just don't like... Well, I mean, we are, but...
I was about to say, you're really going to argue with that one.
I just don't like broadcasting my life across social media. It's not my jam.
We're literally uploading a podcast every week.
But, like, this is different, I feel like, than, like... Because at least, like, we talk about shit.
Yes.
Like, you were talking here, it's like, people put, like, their best face forward on... like social media.
Yeah, I get that. To some degree, we almost play a character on this podcast.
I'm just my neurotic ass self.
Yeah, but we're both pretending to not be
filled with social anxiety.
Yes.
I mean, you can also tell, like, when I'm reading directly out of my notes, I change my voice.
I have worked very hard to not do that, and I think I managed to be successful, but that is because of years of acting.
I have zero experience.
Yeah, I know. This podcast would probably be more of a dumpster fire without my random expertise in things.
I'm really good with, like, some random things, but, like, reading publicly is not my jam.
It's not mine either, surprisingly.
But we've made significant improvements since episode one.
Yes.
And we're inching closer to episode 50, which...
Yes.
We have some special stuff planned.
Yes. Be looking out for episode 50. It's going to be a blast. Do we have any other announcements? I don't think so either. All right, what's your weird-ass question of the day?
So, if you were God...
Okay.
What song would you play in heaven and in hell? And in purgatory?
This is suppositioning that I would feel a need to have a heaven and a hell and a purgatory?
Yes.
Okay.
Theoretically, there was some law that you had to follow that required a heaven, hell, and a purgatory.
I want to make it very clear that I don't agree that there should be. But anyway, I also don't feel like I would want to play music in any of those places. But I think in hell, for sure, I would definitely play the songs that are, like, the most repetitive songs. Songs like Big Sean's Ass.
I don't know that song.
It just goes, ass.
That's why this podcast is labeled as explicit.
Also, Rihanna's Work.
Just all of Rihanna.
Oh,
Thunder. The song Work. Oh, yes. Okay. I think I'm just saying, like, her work.
No, not everything. Some of it's fine. No, the specific song Work.
Okay. I thought you were just dissing Rihanna.
No, Rihanna's fine. She's fine. The song Thunder.
By...
Thunder.
Oh, by Imagine Dragons?
Yes, that one. I would just play, like, the most annoying repetitive songs over and over and over again.
Song repeat.
Ad nauseum, just to, like, Gitmo it out, you know?
What word was that?
Gitmo.
I'm gonna need a definition here.
So Gitmo is a secret detention center where American criminals are held by...
I know Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, that's it.
What is Gitmo?
It's a shortened version of Guantanamo.
Guantanamo.
Yes, it's a shortened version of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's where American fugitives are held by the different security agencies. And
it's in Cuba.
Essentially tortured by them, despite the fact that...
Torture is technically against the Geneva Convention.
Not just technically, it is against the Geneva Convention. But anyway, in heaven, I don't feel like I would play music.
You wouldn't have Taylor Swift on repeat?
Hell no. Purgatory, I also wouldn't have music.
Oh.
I just don't feel like there needs to be fucking a goddamn universal soundtrack to different places. Like, people can listen to their own goddamn music. Like, if you're in heaven, just hand everyone a goddamn...
MP3 player? Give them a Zune.
I was thinking of an iPod Touch. Just give everyone one of those and let them play their own shit that they like. What would you play?
Oh, Taylor Swift, definitely.
In hell?
No. Mm. No, in hell, it'd probably just be, like, almost exclusively country music and Friday by Rebecca Black.
You know, she made a remix of that managed to be even fucking worse.
She did?
I'll show it to you later.
Okay.
It's horrifying.
Interesting.
All right. So what the fuck are you talking about today? Your episode was just titled 46 with a dash next to it. Like, there was no words.
Oh, no, I added a title this morning. It's the shit that happens in the South.
That is not specific in any way, shape, or form.
Well, it's called the, let's see if I can pronounce this right, Pascagoula Incident.
That just reminds me of goulash.
What is a goulash? Isn't it like a type of shoe?
Maybe, but it's also, like, a dish that's kind of like a pasta dish, but it's kind of like you throw everything in the kitchen sink in there. Like, just different, like, kinds of pasta.
And... like a garbage bowl kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of.
See, when you said goulash, my brain immediately just went to gulags.
Oh, those are the shoes.
No, a gulag is the Russian labor camps in Siberia.
Oh. Yeah.
Those are very different things, Abigail.
Yeah.
Do you want to get sent to the goulashes?
I don't know much about Russian history, I'm sorry.
I'm just surprised that you don't know about the gulags.
My brain is not entirely awake yet.
Yeah, no, Abigail woke up when I called her from her doorstep.
Yeah, I had an alarm set to get myself up, but I was also up writing notes at 4 o'clock a.m.
And I showed up at her house like 9:45.
Yeah, so my alarm did not wake me.
I was originally planning on being here an hour earlier, but then shit happened, so...
Anyway, back to goulash.
Yes. So this is I think this is actually, I don't know if I've if we've gone to the South before, but it takes place on the Pascagoula River in Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay. We've gone to the South, but I don't think we've gone
have
to the
I
South.
Have I gone to the South?
No.
Okay. because I don't remember most of what you've talked about. I can tell you what, at least most of what I've covered. I can't tell you half the things that you've covered.
I feel the same way about you.
You black out during most of the recordings. You're lucky if you remember half of what I've talked about.
Yeah, I know.
If I bring it up, you might remember it.
I only remember because I look at the titles of your notes.
Some of them just don't make sense, though. Some of my notes. No, titles.
They don't.
And that's kind of the point.
Yeah, we kind of just come up with absurd names.
Yes, I think the cat wants out. She's trying to hit the door handle, but she's too tiny.
She can open Corwin's door.
Oh, is the door handle lower?
No. Mine just gets stuck more easily.
Oh.
Because of the paint. But she can open Corwin's.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I have knobs in my house so the cats can't open them.
So Corwin's door is never closed because once we close it, she just immediately opens it.
I mean, it doesn't really make... Closing my door doesn't really make much of a difference because I have a Fenrir-sized hole in my door.
That was the most ghetto thing you've ever fucking done. I don't even know why you bothered doing that when you could have just left your fucking door open.
So I could still have some semblance of privacy.
You're not gonna have privacy with that goddamn door hole in.
It goes about like a quarter of the way up the door.
Yeah, Fenrir is a big dog.
He's chonky. He's so chonky. It's wide too.
Yeah.
But so on the evening of October 11th, 1973, it was 42-year-old Charles Hickson and 18-year-old Calvin Parker. So they were fishing in Wagner Shipyard on the Pascagoula River. Pascagoula River. I'm going to mispronounce that a lot, but thankfully it's only relevant to the first couple paragraphs.
Okay.
So some sources said that they were in a boat, others said they were on the bank, but that doesn't really matter. Because they had suddenly heard a hissing sound coming from behind them. Abby is very confused.
I'm thinking like, snake, lizard, deranged human being.
Well, clearly it's the answer to everything, Abigail.
Okay.
So when they turned around, they saw flashing blue lights. And they quickly realized that the lights were coming from an oval-shaped craft hovering in the air.
God damn it.
That was about 40 feet in length and 10 feet high. Aliens are the answer to everything.
Aliens are the answer to nothing, folks.
You don't think that it's possible for aliens to exist anywhere else in the universe?
I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying that aliens are used to fill in knowledge that we don't have simply because people are unable to simply say we don't know X, Y, or Z at this time and just be okay with it.
But do you believe that aliens exist out there in the universe somewhere?
I think it's entirely possible.
Do you think it's likely?
The universe could potentially expand until infinity. Like, I can't know the probable odds of alien life existing. Because I can know all of the environments that exist outside of what our knowledge encapsulates.
Hmm.
I think it's entirely possible. However, I cannot say it's absolutely certain because it's also entirely possible that we just got very lucky that everything happened under the right conditions for life to occur.
But do you think, like, your personal opinion, that aliens could exist out there somewhere?
Oh my god, are you Jesse Lee Peterson?
I don't know who that is.
He's a pastor, I'll put it in quotes, and whenever someone goes on his podcast, he just asks them the same question over and over and over again when they don't...
You're not giving me a yes or no answer.
When they don't give him an answer that he likes until they answer in exactly the way he wants them to.
I'm just looking for a simple yes or no.
There isn't a simple yes or no.
I'm asking for your opinion, not like the scientific explanation that you're trying to come up with.
I don't have a simple yes or no.
All right, then. The door on the craft had opened up, and there was a blindingly bright light. And out of it, there were three robot-like creatures that floated down towards them.
The fuck?
Not walked. They floated. How would you feel if something just, like, floated towards you out of a craft that just mysteriously appeared?
I would hate it.
Or if literally anything just floated towards you.
I would hate it.
So they were about 5 feet tall with gray wrinkled skin and clawed hands and slits for eyes and a mouth.
Ew.
And Hickson later described them as having no neck and that their skin was very coarse and wrinkled like that of an elephant's. And that they had, quote, projections where ears would be.
What?
And that the hands were claw-like with essentially think like mittens but with no fingers. Like sharp mittens.
What?
I have pictures. So I'm going to scroll down to my notes.
We'll put the pictures in the sources page, by the way.
So this is supposedly what they had looked like.
Why does it have the nose of a snowman?
That's a good question. I don't know. Also, the nose and the ears look exactly the same.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe someone just, like, shoved a carrot in its face? But yeah. Sharp mittens.
I just feel like someone was trying to draw an alien that looked enough like a human but was distinctly different, and so they just added, like, random sharp lines in different places.
So, some sort of said they were paralyzed, grabbed, and then floated on board. Others said that they were just, like, floated.
Okay.
On board. But imagine just, like, floating. Like, suddenly, like, you're on the ground or in a boat or whatever. And then you go from sitting there, standing there, just, like, suddenly becoming, like, weightless. Just, like, spazzing there in the air, but being, like, guided along anyway.
Yeah, I would hate it.
Like, none of your movements have any effects.
Yeah, I would hate it.
But would that be better or worse than not being able to move and then floated?
I think it would honestly be better than not being able to move. Because, like, to some degree, if you're paralyzed, you know that you can't do anything. Whereas if you can move, like, you know that you can do something and it still means nothing.
All right, and then so at this point, apparently, Parker just passed out, doesn't remember anything.
Okay.
So, this comes from Hickson. So, he said that he was taken to a room that was full of light, and, like, there were lights on the floor or ceiling, and the lights didn't have any obvious source.
Okay.
And then in the room, there's a football-shaped probe that came out of a wall. Okay. And then circled around his body.
Okay.
And apparently this just went on for, he said, anywhere from 30 to 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently he just got floated back out. And that was it. That was like the entirety of their encounter. But our story's not over quite yet. So, after Hickson got, you know, floated back, apparently Parker was standing on the shore, apparently. He was either in a trance with his arms stretched out in front of him, just staring off into nothing.
Ew.
You know, just zoning out.
Just.
Yeah. Like, it's like a little kid trying to learn how to T-pose, but not quite knowing how to do it.
Yeah, just fucking yoga move. Trance state.
Others said that he was just crying and praying on the shore.
Yeah, that's
which person I feel like that one's probably more likely. So, then the spaceship left, and they went back to the car. So I don't know who was driving, but apparently Hickson took some shots of that sweet, sweet car whiskey that he just kept on hand.
Oh, well, the 70s.
And there was, you know, trying to make sense of it and calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I could see you keeping some sweet, sweet car whiskey, Abigail.
I don't even, like, drink that much alcohol when I'm home.
I just don't really drink all that much.
Yeah. Like, I think I've had one drink this week, and it was, like, a couple sips of, like, a wine cooler. And I didn't even fucking finish it. Like, it's still in my fridge.
Yeah, that's usually how I am when or if I drink something. I just don't really. Unless it's stuff from, like, a restaurant. They usually have pretty good alcohol, which is interesting. So they had decided to report the incident. So originally they called...
To who?
Originally they called Keesler Air Base, Air Force Base.
The fuck are they gonna do?
Well, they did nothing because they informed them that they, quote, didn't handle that sort of thing and to call the local sheriff.
Yeah, because they're probably like, these guys are fucking nuts.
So then the Jackson County Police Station originally didn't believe their story.
Gee, I wonder why.
And then they just kind of like threw them in a room together and left them there. But they didn't know they put a tape recorder in there.
Okay. If you're in a police office, you should always assume that you're being recorded.
Always.
Like, unless you have specifically been charged and are under arrest and you are with your lawyer, you are always being recorded.
I've never been to a police station, so. I'm not professional in law in any sort of way.
I'm not either, but just always assume you're being recorded.
I mean, if you're anywhere, at least in the U.S., you are always being recorded. If you have your phone, unless you're literally in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
With nothing.
With literally nothing. No, like, technology.
Yeah, nope. No,
I wouldn't be surprised if our credit cards were listening to us.
I wouldn't either.
Honestly, your bed frame is probably listening to us, Abigail.
I've already checked that. It's not.
You actually checked that?
No.
Hey, knowing you, I would believe that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So... Yeah, so the police left a tape recorder in there. And then a man named Glenn Ryder was the one who would question them. So he said, quote, "We left them to talk to see if they were going to say something along the lines of, well, we got them fooled." But they didn't. They were really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So that tends to add more credibility to their story.
Or they just... knew that they were probably being recorded because they were in a goddamn police station. Or they were at least being watched, because again, they're in a goddamn police station.
So, they had originally requested that, cut that out. Future me / future Abigail. So, Hickson said that him and Parker had made requests for everything to, you know, not get blown up out of proportion. But, the next day, newspapers ran it on the front page.
Of course they did.
So, who knows how that got out, but...
Honestly, like, there are some police, like, auxiliary people... Like, not the officers themselves, but, like, police office staff that specifically work there so they can gossip about the cases.
So many gossipy people.
Like, it doesn't happen as much today now because everyone who works in the building has to sign extensive documentation saying, like, this is a non-disclosure agreement. I can't talk about any of the cases. I can't talk about anything I see or do in this building. Like... stuff like that.
NDAs out the wazoo.
Yes. But especially in the 1970s, that did not exist.
I'm not familiar with law enforcement of the 1970s, but I feel like that's where half of your cases are.
It's also where my case today is.
Oh my god. Is it a good old-fashioned murder?
Maybe.
I don't like that. So, so then within days, Jackson, Mississippi was the focus of UFO enthusiasts. So the areas got flooded and reporters would go around the Wagner shipyard where they had reported, where they had reported that it had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to speak to them.
Great.
Well, and also trying, imagine just being harassed day and night by reporters.
Yeah, I would fucking hate it.
I feel like you'd probably kill one of them.
I would definitely accidentally assault one of them.
Hey, quote unquote accidentally.
I don't want it to be seen as premeditated.
I think this recording right here is going to make it sound pretty premeditated. So, good luck with that one, Chief. So, apparently, on the night in question, there were a couple other UFO sightings said that they saw a helicopter-like object with blue lights.
Okay.
And then following the event on the river, the police ended up getting just a whole slew of UFO reports. My source said that many of them proved to be hoaxed, but others were still unexplained. I don't know what the other ones were.
I mean, I feel like a ton of these were probably just people wanting to get attention.
Oh, definitely.
And they were unexplained simply because the police couldn't actively disprove them.
Yes. I'm assuming that's how that works.
Yes.
Parker didn't really like talking about it. Hicks, on the other hand, really enjoyed talking about it.
I feel like this is a very common thing.
So apparently after he got over his initial meh of being abducted by aliens, he apparently became fascinated with them. Apparently his son would state several years after his death in 2011 that he, quote, only wanted to let everybody know that we are not alone. He didn't care whether you believed him or not. And also, apparently, the following year, 1974, he would further report 3 UFO encounters and would write about his experiences in a book called UFO Contact at Pascagoula in 1983.
Yeah, that sounds like attention-seeking behavior.
And then some sources said that Parker would regularly go out of state or moved out of state or take out of state job. Either way, he tried to go out of state. But it came back at some points and then moved back away. Trying to escape the attention.
Yeah, I mean, he probably just claimed this as, like, I'm trying to go along with my friend and then didn't want to keep it up anymore.
Yeah, well, and then apparently both he and the area were still magnets for UFO investigators.
I'm sure he was.
One of the things that might make this more convincing would be that there's no markers at the site, and the local community wasn't trying to make money off of it by selling UFO souvenirs like Roswell.
I feel like that doesn't necessarily make it more convincing. It just makes me feel like the area didn't know how to capitalize on it.
So apparently both of their reputations suffered after this.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, I mean, well, honestly, you probably wouldn't, your opinion wouldn't change me if I told you I was abducted by aliens.
No, but I also already know that you're crazy. I would probably try to convince you that it wasn't real.
I'm curious what would happen if you got abducted by aliens.
I would assume it was a hallucination.
Well, also the thought that people who are more open to having, like, alien encounters or paranormal experiences are more likely to have them. Which is an interesting psychological, I don't know if it's psychological or not, but interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, but because that they're, maybe they just didn't think about how their reputations would suffer, but it doesn't seem like, if they had planned it out, it doesn't seem like that
either of them had taken that into account, but it seems like something that you would.
I mean, I'm sure they didn't. They were probably young.
One guy was in his 40s, the other guy was like 18. But yes, but that is all I have for you. For the Pascagoula incident. This word is very difficult.
Pascagoulash.
Pascagoulag?
No, Pascagoulash.
You're a goulash.
Yeah, kind of.
Your face is a goulash.
Everyone's favorite segment. Spooky Fun Fact.
So, a human body could be skeletonized in less than 4 days in highly oxygenated deep water.
I believe that.
So, if you're trying to get rid of a body, what you have to do is gotta puncture the lungs and throw them into the ocean. Gotta puncture the lungs so the body doesn't float.
I mean, you should also probably tie it down.
Just do, like, cement blocks on the feet. Make it look like a mob hit.
Do it on more than just the feet. Because the feet detach pretty quickly.
Yeah, probably around, like, the neck and the hips, too. Anywhere you can get a rope around.
This is not us advocating that you commit a murder. Don't commit murder.
Penance of Purgatory does not advocate for murder. But if you're gonna do it right.
No murder. Bad.
So, Abigail, what do you have for us today?
So today, welcome back. We are going to discuss what happens when the media and religion take over the investigation of a case and preconceptions determine the outcome before evidence actually does. How bullshit can simply make a case go unsolved for decades, potentially maybe even centuries.
Interesting.
Today we are going to discuss the death of Jeanette DePalma.
Don't know who that is.
You're gonna find out. So September 19th, 1972, a woman was walking her dog near a place called the Hoodile Quarry in Springfield, New Jersey. The dog ran off, presumably smelling something interesting, as dogs do.
It probably saw a squirrel or a rabbit.
Keep your dogs on a goddamn leash, by the way.
Yes. Have I told you what my dog does when he's a rabbit?
What does he do?
He, like, jumps. He, like, gets up on his hind legs, starts doing, like, some weird thing with his hands. His paws. He's got dog hands. Dog hands. And then he makes this weird chirping sound.
What the fuck?
I have, like, a 3-second video, but isn't... capture it to its full extent.
Your dog is so weird.
Yes, he is.
How did you find a dog that's as weird as you?
I don't know, but he came to me pre-traumatized, so traumatized straight out of the box.
Same. So the dog came back to her carrying something with it.
Wait, I think I've heard that it's a foot, wasn't it?
So the woman freaked the fuck out once she realized that the dog was carrying a decomposing human arm.
Ah, oh, so close.
And that arm led investigators to the rest of a body. The body was a woman, only 16 years old.
Hmm.
Her skeleton was found on a cliff in the quarry called Devil's Teeth.
Devil's Teeth.
That is the name of that specific location in the quarry.
Why is it called that?
It's like a perch, and I guess there's like different stones around it that kind of look like a... they're kind of like pointy.
Mm.
And so it's called Devil's Teeth.
Interesting.
So going back... on the evening of August 7th, 1972, Jeanette DePalma left her house, telling her mom she was taking the train to visit her friend and that she would be back later in the evening. This might sound kind of weird to some people, but this was 1972. 16-year-olds took the train to visit their friends all the time. Like, there was significantly less danger than there is now.
Also, trains are just a lot less popular now.
Yes. Trains are mostly for old people now.
Trains are for old people?
That is what the population is.
So, I have another spooky fun fact that I'm just going to bring this up now. So, when trains were first invented, women weren't allowed on them. Do you know why?
Why?
Because men thought that... if women's bodies went over 35 miles an hour, their uterus would fly out of their bodies.
Reality fun fact. That doesn't happen.
I know, but I just thought that was so dumb when I heard it. I started laughing.
Jesus. So later in the night, her mom became worried that she still wasn't back yet. So she finally broke down and filed a missing persons report with the police. Jeanette never made it to her friend's house, and she never made it home. So the crime scene was the conundrum that started this whole shit show of this whole case. So her body was face down with her right arm underneath her. Her left arm was removed, likely scavenged by animals.
By the dog.
And then brought to the dog walker by the dog. So even though police officers take photos of the crime scene then, and still do now, it is standard policy to have one or more officers investigating to draw several diagrams of what the scene looks like. The idea is that it helps put the photos together in a big picture idea sort of way, as well as it can simplify details and leave out ones which may be irrelevant. For example, if I was murdered in my own living room, they likely wouldn't include a drawing of the absurd amount of cat furniture I have, unless it included, like, trace evidence or was the murder weapon or something.
Imagine getting murdered by a cat tower. Just imagine just someone coming up behind you just bludgeoning you with the cat. Like a cat perch.
That would be impressive, honestly.
Honestly, I'd probably just be like, alright, fine, murder me.
Yeah, I'd be pretty confused by that one.
I think I have like just as much cat furniture, but it's more spread out, so it's not as absurd seeming.
Yeah.
I also have an 80-inch cat tower in my office, so.
Yeah, that's absurd.
That is, well, my sister-in-law had a 72-inch cat tower, so I had to one-up her.
That is absurd.
Did I ever tell you that was the reason that I bought it?
Yes, and it's still absurd. So, the picture drawn by police at the crime scene showed that there was a series of logs surrounding the body in a quadrilateral-esque shape, surrounded also by tiny crossed sticks. The media reported that Jeanette was surrounded by logs in the shape of a coffin, and the tiny sticks were in cross shapes. Some reported that there were pentagrams carved in nearby trees and dead animal sacrifices all over the place.
Who doesn't love a good pentagram?
When you look at the actual crime scene photos, none of this is reality.
Okay.
There are logs around her in a quadrilateral shape, sure, but there's like a ton of overgrowth around it to indicate that the logs weren't recently placed there when the body was found. They had naturally fallen there long before Jeanette came to be there.
So it's basically more like someone just like yeeted her body into the quarry.
Yes.
And then all that stuff was just there.
There were no small sticks in cross shapes, no carvings on trees that were in the shape of pentagrams, and there were no animal sacrifices. I have no clue why the fuck reporters believe there were. Once reported, it spread the news wildfire.
It's like a ye olde clickbait.
One newspaper wrote that all around her body were dead animals tied to trees with strings and some jars. Shortly thereafter, there were reports of animals being mutilated and hung in the same fashion in the Watchung Reservation, which is also very close to the scene of the crime.
I have a theory.
None of that is accurate.
I'm guessing it's like one story, just like tried to fantasize it, and everybody just went off of that one story.
So here's the thing. A police officer on the scene was on the scanner, and he said that, like, on the initial report when he called the crime scene, and he said, like, he had mentioned the sticks and was like, oh, they look like crosses. This might be some satanic shit.
So it was sanity one passing was comment.
Gone. Yes. And it just went from there. Pouring gasoline on the fire was a reverend named James Tate, who ran the church that Jeanette DePalma went to with her family. Many stated that Jeanette was a good Christian girl who spent a lot of time helping other people and her family. I believe it. However, I feel like Reverend Tate took the opportunity to make her a martyr. He began a crusade to make this case about Satanists murdering an amazing Christian. The New York Daily News is stated as saying that Tate told reporters she was so religious that she would often talk to friends and acquaintances about God, he said. He believed that she had tried to lecture devil worshippers about Christ, and their fanaticism arose and they killed her. So he went on a mission of sorts to tell all the reporters he could find about his theory, and the papers ran miles with it.
Ah, yes, leave it to the media to mess shit up.
Soon, the main theory about the case was that Satanists murdered her in a sacrifice to Satan.
Interesting.
At some point, the police even brought a fucking witch to the crime scene, hoping she would be able to tell them something about the dark magic which occurred there.
I'm assuming that this was like peak satanic panic?
Yes. I cannot find what the witch did or did not find at the crime scene, but I would call bullshit on whatever it was unless she said, "There's no such thing as magic. Y'all are fucking idiots for asking me to do this."
I don't think a witch would say there's no such thing as magic.
I know she wouldn't. But unless she said that, I would call bullshit on whatever she said. When you look at the actual crime scene photos, like, there was nothing to indicate a satanic ritual. Yes, the logs were in a quadrilateral shape. Didn't even look that much like a coffin. It looked more like a rectangle. There were no specific sticks in the shape of crosses. It just looked like a bunch of twigs that were just randomly there.
Did it look like a coffin or a casket?
It just looked like a fucking rectangle.
So more caskety than coffiny.
It just looked like a rectangle. But it's clear that it wasn't intentionally placed there along with her body.
I don't understand what happened with this case.
So, Jeanette De Palma had to be identified by dental records because there wasn't much left besides a skeleton at that point. The autopsy was not even able to determine the cause of death. There were no fractures, cuts, etc. that could be found.
So she'd been laying there for a while.
Yes. She had been there for a month-ish.
Oh.
It had been a month since she went missing.
Well, how long does it take for a body to fully go full skeleton?
That depends on the environment.
In this environment. Say, in open air. Like, just laying on the ground.
That's such a complicated question. Like, it literally depends on the soil, it depends on the weather, it depends on the time of year. Unless I was literally living in the area at that time and was able to draw samples in that specific area, there's absolutely no way I can make that determination. So, a toxicology test found no signs of drugs or anything abnormal except for abnormally high lead levels in her body.
You said lead levels?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, at some point, the likely official cause of death was ruled as strangulation. I can find no documentation which would indicate why that ruling was made. When it was made, or who made it. Just, what the fuck? I detect shenanigans involved in that determination. The high levels of lead is the significant finding to come out of the autopsy, in my opinion. It was also noted that there were stains on Jeanette's clothes, which were never tested, because they, and I quote, were too decomposed for conclusive blood and semen examinations.
Clothes don't degrade that much after a month.
That is correct. So, a request was filed by a private investigator in 2019 to test those stains for evidence, and it was denied because the private investigator didn't have any legal connection to the victim or any member of her estate, despite the fact that he was working with Jeanette's nephew.
All right, then.
There is some that believe that the clothes themselves were lost.
I'll say there's a theory, but I am confident that a police person murdered her. And that's why everything got all fucked up.
We'll get there. So, 8 feet south of her body were the contents of Jeanette's purse, without the purse. itself, or any wallet or money, which she probably would have had a wallet and money in her purse. She was planning on taking the train to and from her friend's house. She like, even if she got on the train to go to her friend's house, she definitely didn't take the train back.
Mm-hmm.
So she would have had money. So inside the purse would have been Marco brand tissues, which is a brand of like facial tissues sold at stores like Walmart. A Vicks inhaler, which is over the counter, used to treat nasal congestion. A small compact, lipstick, a comb, a key on a ring, a small eyeshadow box, and a vial of an unknown substance. So the vial resembled a Chrysidin bottle, which is a medicine that acts as a cough suppressant. Jeanette's mother confirmed that she had come down with a cold around then. This idea would be further confirmed by the tissues in the Vicks inhaler that were also in her purse.
I don't know why, but you said, like, a vial of mysterious substance. And I saw this story. It was basically, long story short, Pope blood was stolen, like, 3 times. And each time, people just kind of, like, threw it away. And it was always recovered. And now they lock away the Pope blood.
Gotta keep the Pope blood secure.
Maybe I'll, cover that at some point. No. Well, that might be your thing. Because it's about, like, people just, like, keep committing robberies. And just, like, keep stealing this Pope blood. And then not knowing what it is.
No one can clone the Pope.
No, like, it was a dead Pope's blood.
I mean, they could still technically clone him.
This is before cloning was a thing. At least before we knew it was a thing. Military could already be on cloning, for all we know.
Also missing from her was the cross necklace, which Jeanette was known to wear all the time. Like, her family, her friends, everyone in the town was like, she wore that thing every second of her day, and it wasn't on her body. Her mom was like, she definitely had it when she left the house, and it was just gone from the crime scene. There also isn't a clear idea why Jeanette was up there in the first place. To get to that location, it's pretty rough terrain. Jeanette was also found wearing flip-flops, something she wouldn't have had an easy time wearing while trying to get to that specific spot in Devil's Teeth.
How far out of the way was it for her?
It probably would have been like a 25-minute hike to get to that location.
She's probably forced there, or dragged there post-mortem.
She definitely didn't get there by herself.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of the investigators tripped and stumbled and needed help to get to that damn crime scene. Like, a teenage girl in flip-flops wouldn't have just casually wandered up there in flip-flops. Like, there's no way. So, the police immediately did the rational thing, besides bring a witch to a crime scene.
They said aliens did it?
Christ. In the investigation of a murder, they got word there was a transient in the area who worked at the local golf course, the Balchusral Golf Club, as a golf caddy. He was known as Balchusral Red. And so, because he was transient, they immediately thought, he's our number one suspect.
Oh.
So, it took them a bit to track him down due to the fact that people who are homeless don't have a specific address on file anywhere. When they finally did, they determined that Mr. Red had nothing to do with the crime. I don't really know what grounds they initially used to determine he may be involved, but considering the time period and hysteria, I'm guessing it's simply because he was a homeless man living in a town that didn't give a damn whether he was dead or alive. I think there's also a large possibility that he was not a white man, and that may have also played a part in people believing that he did it.
Hmm.
But I don't have confirmation on it because there's very little actual information on him. So, after determining that a random homeless man did not murder someone who the police can't even say was actually murdered, that's essentially where the case ended. The police have gone nowhere since then. Many times, law enforcement has claimed that most of the files and evidence was lost due to the flooding in 1999 from Hurricane Floyd. However, since much of the case file was recently released in a Freedom of Information Act in February of 2021, I'm not sure what exactly was lost. It's possible that the clothes that the PI wanted tested could have been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the request was denied.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. It's like a physical object that can't be copied.
Yeah. It's just very strange that they claimed for so long that, like, all of the crime scene photos were lost. And that didn't turn out to be true. They were released in 2021.
Hmm.
So, I just really can't stress enough how fucked this investigation of this case is. This case has more theories that the public came up with than the police did. I swear the police spent more time speaking to reporters about Satanists than they did solving what happened to the 16-year-old girl. So let's talk about theories. There's a lot of potential ones, so I'm not going to waste time with absurdities on this one.
So not aliens?
No. Not aliens.
It's always aliens.
No. So, let's get to the most talked about theory out of the way, because I fucking hate it.
Now, did you put these in the Abigail scale of believability?
They are ranked, yes, they are not in order.
Alright.
Because I wanted to organize them in a different way.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm crazy. So let's talk satanic ritual first, which I think is a 2. On the Abigail scale of believability. There was nothing at the crime scene to indicate this was a satanic ritual. Besides being in the satanic panic across the United States, there were 2 recent crimes that the townsfolk thought of that instantly made anyone who died, like, it made them lose their shit. And so, anyone who died suspiciously, these 2 recent crimes, they automatically thought that it was witchcraft. So let's talk about those 2 crimes, just so we can discuss what the bias was. So in Westfield, New Jersey, about 40 minutes away from Devil's Teeth, about a year before Jeanette's death, a man named John List murdered his entire family. He shot his wife, mother, and 2 children in the head. Then he went to pick up his other son from soccer practice, drove him home, and then shot his son multiple times in the chest and face. He then proceeded to place all the bodies on sleeping bags in a line on the ballroom floor of his fucking Victorian mansion.
Of course.
Except for the mother, of course, who he left in her room in the attic.
To his mother?
Yes.
So this old lady.
Yes.
Okay.
He just left her dead body in the attic.
Damn, okay, now we know how he actually felt about her.
Just totally sane choices here.
Maybe the ballroom wasn't big enough to fit all the bodies.
It was a Victorian mansion. The ballroom was big enough.
I don't know. I've never been in a ballroom before.
It was typically created so people could host large gatherings and parties.
But it's like a small ballroom? A big ballroom?
It was a big ballroom.
Technically, this room could be a ballroom.
It was a big ballroom.
Just change out your ceiling fan for disco ball.
Okay, this isn't a Victorian mansion. This is a goddamn apartment building.
Does the apartment building have a ballroom?
No! So, he then just assumes a new identity.
As one does.
And the bodies went unfound for a fucking month.
The fuck?
So, when the bodies were finally discovered, and he was found and arrested, his defense team tried to argue that List's 16-year-old daughter was a practicing witch, and that's why he killed them.
What?
Your daughter's a witch, so
gotta kill your whole family.
Gotta kill your whole family and put them on sleeping bags and line them up in your...
Wait, on or in sleeping bags?
On top of.
I thought he put them in.
No, on top of.
Somehow that makes even less sense.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So he tried to make this argument, and the argument got thrown out of court on its ass, thankfully.
Sounds right.
And he was sentenced to 5 life sentences and died in prison in 2008.
I think I've brought this up on the podcast before, how I thought they handle people who are sentenced to multiple life sentences. So I thought, like, say somebody lived to be 95 and they were sentenced to life in prison. They just kept the body in there. I was like, I don't see the point of just keeping a dead body in a cell.
Because there is no point.
Yeah, but when I was younger, that's how I thought it was done.
No, a life sentence is classified as somewhere between 25 to 35 years.
That's a life sentence?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Why? I don't fucking lawyers, man.
Sounds like they just like tack on multiple life sentences to make sure you don't get out.
Yeah, no. 25 to 35 years.
Like, then, by that definition, I can go in and get a life sentence and then be out when I'm 50.
Yeah, I know.
The fuck?
Welcome to the American justice system.
Fucking America. Time to leave.
You're not leaving yet.
No, time to leave America.
Yeah, I know, and I said you're not leaving yet.
Eh, maybe we'll go to Canada.
No. Yeah, so he was nuts. He said that, well, he told a doctor who spoke with him to determine, like, sanity and all that shit. Because when you are charged with murder, very often the defense will have someone evaluate you to try and see if you can be determined insane and therefore not have to stand trial, which I could go on another rant about why that is ridiculous. But anyway, he told that doctor that he had been recently laid off and he killed his entire family because he didn't want his family to have to deal with the embarrassment.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah. So List is a fucking asshole. And I really hope there's a place in hell for him. And I really hope the devil has some really fun ways of torturing him with a goddamn sleeping bag.
Torturing someone with a sleeping bag?
In a ballroom.
No, what you gotta do is you gotta make him both the piñata and the bat. Just like hang him from the ceiling in a sleeping bag, and then you also take him in the sleeping bag and beat himself with himself. They can do some wild shit in hell.
Wes's hell torture tips. 101. What the fuck? Okay. So 1 month before John List killed the only good contributions that he had made in his life, 20-year-old Patrick Martin Newell was also murdered. 2 teenagers tied his hands and legs behind his back and threw him into a sandpit pond and waited for him to drown.
A sandpit pond?
Yes.
What is he? So it just sounds like quicksand.
Kind of.
I thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger issue when I was a child.
I also thought that, like, stop, drop, and roll would be a much bigger issue.
Yes.
So, their defense was that Patrick had told them to do these things because he belonged to a Satan worshiper sect and felt that he had to die violently in order to be put in charge of 40 leagues of demons.
I thought leagues were a distance.
It is. Come on, cat. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell torture.
So, they were both eventually charged with murder. I'm very glad that their argument of he asked for it did not work in this instance.
But so, they always ask for it, don't they?
Abigail's looked at me like, shut the fuck up.
It's a good thing Wes is across the room.
And halfway in the closet.
So, needless to say, after these 2 crimes in a very close area, the town was in more hysteria than the normal satanic panic sweeping the nation. Despite this, there is no evidence that this murder was connected to anything satanic. Not only that, there is no evidence that any sacrifice has ever been made to Satan involving humans.
Pretty sure there has been, though, at some point in history. There's probably been at least one person who's been sacrificed to Satan. It's statistically probable for that to have happened.
Not only that, there is no evidence that any sacrifice has ever been made for the Church of Satan. Because Satanists are atheists who don't even believe in Satan.
Not all of them. There's theistic and atheistic Satanism.
Are you really going to mansplain me, Satanist?
It's not mansplaining, it's explaining. Clearly you don't know the difference.
I'm just trying to trigger Wes.
It's really This is the second time, Tay, she has misused the term mansplaining. I told her I brought my own fucking power cord. She's like, are you trying to mansplain a power cord to me? I was like, that's not mansplaining.
Well, yeah, because I brought the power cord to the monitor, not the goddamn computer.
They look the same.
Because they're universal.
Yeah, no, so I basically brought my whole computer over here. Not like my monitors or any, not my monitor, keyboard, anything. Just the tower. So, yeah.
So next is that this was a crime of opportunity, which is at like a 6 of believability. So Devil's Teeth was known to be somewhat of a party location for young teens, general troublemakers, and hooligans.
Hooligans and the youths.
Yes, we're so hip.
Hip with the youth.
Yes. It's possible that Jeanette was there for some other reason, and then someone took advantage of her being there to commit murder. This theory is backed up somewhat by the fact that she would have had a very difficult time getting to that location in flip-flops. So next is Richard Cottingham, which is a 2 on the Abigail scale of believability. Don't let my cat bite on that, please. She has toys. She doesn't need to eat that are not her toys.
She needs to eat everything.
This is why my cats are well-behaved and your pets aren't.
She's the devourer.
So, Richard Cottingham was a serial killer who raped and killed young women in the area during the time Jeanette died. However, Cottingham's murders were brutal. He would always strangle or beat women to death. All of his victims had severe damage on their bodies, which would have all been evident on x-rays. I just don't think he would have killed Jeanette without leaving a single mark on her skeleton. I don't think that the rage evident in his other murders would have just magically vanished in this specific one, which is why I think it's pretty unlikely that he was the one who was responsible for her death. The last in the murder category is unknown other murderers, which is a 4 on the Abigail scale of believability. Other people could have been involved in her death. Some theories is that the police were involved or that there was a police cover-up. Unfortunately, since the police and media spent so much time on the Satanist angle, they missed the opportunity to actually find other suspects. And honestly, at this point, it's pretty likely her killer is dead by now.
I'm calling police cover up.
Something. So the next theory is that this was a drug overdose, which is a 1. So many speculated that Jeanette died of a drug overdose, and her friends who she was doing drugs with just left her because they didn't want to get in trouble. However, the blood work came up negative for any drugs, and her family doesn't think it's likely that she would have been doing
that. Wait, wasn't she a skeleton when they found her?
Yes.
How could they do blood work?
Bone marrow. I know that families don't always know their teenage kids as well as they think they do. The pressure to be a good Christian girl is immense in most Christian families, and most teenage girls rebel once they realize how it is impossible to live up to those standards. I just don't think it's likely that she died of a drug overdose without drugs showing up in her system. The last theory that we're going to talk about is that this was an accidental death caused by lead poisoning, which I think is a 1. So, the tox screen showed high levels of lead in Jeanette's body. I don't know what the exact levels were, nor do I have the MD next to my name that would allow me to speculate on whether this was high enough to kill her. But in the 1970s, lead paint and lead pipes were still very common in most houses. High levels of lead can be very lethal to adults, but even more so to children. Children's damage to lead is exponentially higher than adults, almost as much as 4 to 5 times higher, even if exposed to the same amount of lead. So her body could have been very strained by that. Granted, lead poisoning is usually a slow process, and the symptoms would have occurred very gradually. If the lead levels were high enough, she definitely would have been experiencing some pretty severe symptoms, such as abdominal pain, vomiting, jaundice, lethargy, diarrhea, encephalopathy, which affects the brain and can lead to seizures, coma, and death.
Sorry, did you say lethargy?
Yes.
Lethargy?
Lethargy.
Lethargy.
No, it's lethargy.
It's not lethargy.
Yes, it is.
No, it's lethargic, but it's lethargy. Abigail's now Googling it. Get fucked.
What? No.
Is that called you out on something medical?
No, I'm triggered that I've thought that it's pronounced that way for like 20 years. Where was
I? Lethargy? It's lethargic. I will give you that.
Slowed body growth, reduced IQ, loss of appetite, weight loss, constipation, mild abdominal pain, irritability, fatigue, blue tinge around the gums, anemia, hearing loss, and neurological weakness. So she would have been experiencing symptoms before she died if she died of lead poisoning. Like, you don't just drop dead of lead poisoning without having any other symptoms. Like, it's not carbon monoxide poisoning. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there could have been any number of ways she died, and honestly, the theories extend to infinity. It's difficult with this case because there isn't really any good answer with this one. And unfortunately, I think the trail is cold. I don't know if there is going to be a good answer on this one. I just feel like this one might be too late, which sucks. Because a 16-year-old girl died, and no one knows what happened. That's all I have.
Dun dun dun. Your cat's just staring at me from over a box.
She does that. She just likes to look at people.
She was hippoing. All I could see was just her eyes and above.
Yeah, she likes to do that. She likes to be mysterious.
She's not very mysterious.
No, she's not. She's very obvious. She's not very sneaky. If you would like to keep up with us and our weird-ass lives, you can check us out on our social media pages.
At Pen and Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
If you would like to send us some scary stories, fictional or
otherwise,
or real, I just forgot the opposite of fictional for a minute. You can email them to us
at penanceandpurgatory@gmail.com.
You can also just email us to say hi.
So I'm watching a cat lick herself, and it's very entertaining. She looks like she doesn't know how to do it.
She does so very aggressively. Yes. Rate us on Apple Podcasts and Facebook.
Yes. Rating us on Apple Podcasts would be the best way to help us grow.
Apparently.
I know a lot more about this than she does.
I don't do social media. I just focus entirely on doing research and writing notes.
She uses exclusively Facebook.
Yeah.
Like an old person.
I don't really do much with Facebook, even when I do use it.
Yeah, I don't really use much. I've uninstalled most social media on my phone, so whenever I have to go to the website.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we have for this week.
All right. Until next time.
Until next time. Bye. Don't get sick. Bye.